Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a new big party, man.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And how you doing, Sam?
It's almost the weekend, Earl. I'm almost good.
Yeah, it's almost the weekend. And we'll hold the thought after I introduce my guest. It's Friday, so that means Friday's with Sandy Williams. How you doing, Sandy?
Well, I'm okay. Friday, it's almost the weekend. I got to agree with Sam, except that I can't tell weekends.
I was about to ask you, does it matter whether it's Monday or Sunday? I
have to rub it in, y'all.
I have to look at my calendar. Yeah. Oh, God, it's Friday.
You know how fortunate we are that we can, you know, but that didn't come without sacrifice, right? Many years of sacrifice where Mondays and Fridays did matter.
I suppose y'all did your time. It's fine.
This is payback.
Yeah. All the extra hours.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I used to work sometimes 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And I would do that week in, week out, you know. And all those days didn't matter. You know, because back during those days, it was overtime and, you know, and all those kind of things.
Well, and also back in those days, we thought we had infinite numbers of days.
Yeah.
Now we don't have infinite days.
No. You know, Sandy and Sam, I'm a little frustrated. I was watching the projections for the first 3 weeks of May.
You're talking about weather now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all lower than what it should normally be. And then the only thing that cheered me up is I looked in the entire Midwest is going to be suffering that.
Oh, so, you know. So your misery feels better because you got lots of company? People call that dog in the manger. Now, I never understood what dog in the manger meant. I mean, why it was called that,
right.
But... it's sort of like, yeah, I'll be okay if you're suffering.
Yeah. it really made me feel better.
Yeah.
When I saw the overall map.
So you are a dog in the manger.
I guess I'm a dog in the manger.
Yeah.
But to somehow think that
maybe someone can call in and tell me why it's called dog in the manger. You know, that's a mystery to me. I could look it up on Google, but I'm busy now.
So you know, I 3 more weeks of weather, average weather under what the projected temperature is for the time of the month. But I guess if the projections are 64, 65, and we're at 60, I can live with that.
Well, look at it this way. You can procrastinate further about when you take your winter clothes and move them to wherever it is you store them and bring your summer clothes out, you know?
Yeah. Well, then on the other hand, the guy says, well, we are projecting a little warmer than average summer.
Oh.
So maybe that somehow is going to...
A lot they know.
Yeah. but anyway, I wanted to... a lot of things to talk about, Sandy. And wait, where do I want to begin? I want to begin with this, Sandy. This is Newsweek, and it's, when will the Ukraine war end? NATO warns, be prepared for years of conflict. Years.
Well, I think a year's conflict would mean that basically Russia tries to occupy Ukraine, right? That they take a large portion of Ukraine, put military in that portion, try to control it without having a peace, without having a negotiated peace that would determine what the rights were of the various sides. And if that ends up happening, then you end up with a long insurgency, a long period of time of providing weaponry and support to the insurgents who are apparently, you know, trying to sustain a resistance to sort of an occupying force. So that would be the only way, I think, that a battle over that defined an area could persist for years.
So can you help me understand, help us understand, Sandy, how that kind of a conflict, protracted conflict, and the impact it would have globally on everything, all of us? I mean, well, if that goes on for a year or years, it's certainly got some impact on our country.
Oh, for sure. And, you know,
economically.
Well, economically, for sure. And you know, there's certainly, at the beginning, there is an acute impact, right? Before the market, the general world market, has any chance to adjust to, for instance, the dislocation of the supply of foodstuffs. There's a great deal of food that comes out of not only Ukraine but Russia, so that the essential embargo, this sanction process of no longer being willing to sell to or buy from Russia, is going to cut off a lot of foodstuffs from Russia. But then also the battle in Ukraine eliminates a lot of production there as well. So we've got 40% of the foodstuffs that are, at least in the nature of grains, that go to the Eurasian continent as well as Africa, comes out of Ukraine-Russia. So that's a huge dislocation of foodstuffs that needs to be replaced, that's going to cause an increase in food. In the near term, that dislocation is greater than the long term, when the world market maybe has a chance to adjust itself in some respects, because that the Russian foodstuff might go to India, and in India then imports less from others, and so you begin to get adjustments around in the world market to modify the impact. But the near-term impact is quite acute. And the same is true with the energy impact and oil and gas. And oil and gas is a little more difficult, because the Eurasian continent only has so much gas, for instance, available on that continent, which is then shipped by pipeline. If gas is supplied to Europe by liquefied natural gas transport ships, that's a much more difficult, expensive process that will adjust the price of gas in the world for the long term.
So, Sandy, I was reading something, it might have been yesterday or the day before, where Russia is eyeing the farmland in Ukraine. They apparently want to have control over that too. We're really looking at a protracted situation that is not going to change quickly. I know many of us we're watching it with one eye, and maybe not, you know, with a jaundiced eye. We're not really paying close attention to it, even though we've seen some fallout from it impacting us slowly. This can have some major, and will have some major impact on our daily lives. I'm looking, the gas is starting to, prices are starting to climb back up again. I mean,
well, natural gas, you know, the price of natural gas will be up because the natural gas suppliers in the United States are beginning to ship their natural gas to the LNG docks and to load them into ships, because the price they get for natural gas converted to liquefied natural gas and sent to Europe is higher than the price they get in the United States. So what is that? That has the effect of raising the price in the United States. Gas is now the primary feedstock, or one of the primary feedstocks, for the production of electricity. So all of our electric bills, you got to get adjusted upward based on the cost of fuel to the electric providers. And so the price of electricity is going up. And, you know, that's going to be an effect on all of us as well. So these things have a more pervasive effect in the economy than just the price for heating our house in the winter for natural gas. And the oil price for gasoline, obviously, petrol products are used for many things, plastics, all kind of other important feedstock for manufacturing.
So almost everything in this nation, In the United States, is going to be impacted and affected eventually by this war.
Yes, and you know, the posturing that occurs during war has to be taken with a grain of salt always. So the reports of atrocities, is it an atrocity that's abnormal from warfare? Because warfare itself is an atrocity. And so is it an unlawful atrocity? What are we dealing with? That all has to be taken with a grain of salt, because the people viewing it have their own purposes for how they describe what's happening. But also the duration of the war. Both sides have an incentive to talk about how they're prepared to sustain a very long war as a way to bring the other side to the bargaining table, because they're saying, look, If you think waging a long war is a good idea, we're going to be fully prepared to do that, and you better look at the tea leaves to see how that affects you if you're prepared to participate in a long war. So Russia has described their capacity and willingness to participate in a long war. So now we have to say the same thing, which sounds like we're setting the table for a long war, when in fact they might be setting the table for a negotiation.
So we've gotten and grown comfortable in this country with all the years of war in Afghanistan and Iraq that didn't really have any impact on the American people.
Of course, one of the problems we had in both those conflicts is we went in and decided we were going to create, it wasn't just regime change, we were going to change the political makeup of the country. We didn't have anyone to sit down and negotiate with in either place. We went in and created chaos and anarchy. So what we had to negotiate with was a vacuum. We had the Taliban as a developing force because we essentially created the environment in which the Taliban could resurrect itself. We went into Afghanistan because of things like the Taliban. What did we end up doing? We ended up essentially fortifying the Taliban.
But Sandy, those wars did not impact our standards of living in the country for all those years.
Yes, well, neither place was an important provider of stuff to the world, and neither place resulted in a massive trade sanctions for a country which, you know, while Russia might have the 11th largest economy in the world, on the other hand, it is the 11th largest economy in the world. So it's not an unimportant player. It's just a less important player than the top 10.
All right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.